From the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., you're listening to Korean Context, news and analysis from the Korean Peninsula. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Korean Context. I'm your host, Jenna Gibson. I am sitting here today with one of my colleagues here at KEI. We have Junie Kim here on the podcast today. He is our program manager and executive assistant, and he has been writing a lot recently for the KEI blog about South Korean public opinion, particularly about U.S. President Donald Trump. So with President Trump in Asia this week and having visited South Korea just leaving a couple days ago, we thought this would be a good time to talk with him about what he's been finding, how our South Korean allies are viewing the situation on the peninsula, as well as the new administration in particular. So Junie, I want to get right into it. Thanks for your time and thanks for all your great research for the blog.
No, this is great. Just a few months ago, we did the reverse where I interviewed you. So it's fun to be in the opposite situation.
Yeah, definitely. So I want to ask you, first of all, can you give us the background, set the scene for us here with Donald Trump just leaving Korea, like I mentioned? You had been writing about some polling showing Trump's popularity among South Koreans. So what are the numbers showing? What do you think they mean about Trump now that he's about a year into his presidency?
Well, the very short answer is that Trump is not very popular in South Korea. Especially when you compare it to his immediate predecessor, President Barack Obama, who enjoyed very high popularity among South Koreans. Just to tell you that in numbers, the Pew Research Center this year did a poll asking South Koreans their confidence in the U.S. president, and only 17% of South Koreans indicated they had confidence in him. Similarly, the Yasan Institute, they're a think tank in South Korea, when they asked South Koreans to rate leadership favorability on a 0 to 10 scale, 10 being very favorable, 0 being not very favorable, Donald Trump scored around a 3. It fluctuates from month to month. But it's interesting because that's actually better than whenever he was a candidate for president when he was a little bit under 2. It actually jumped after the election happened last November. So that's the situation right now, and that's kind of the cloud that's hanging over his visit to South Korea. But it's also important to consider his popularity in context of the other regional leaders in South Korea. If you look at this just by itself and were to compare it to Barack Obama, it doesn't look very rosy. But if you actually see the leadership favorability of him compared to the Chinese leader Xi Jinping, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, and of course North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, it's a little bit more favorable for Donald Trump. So Xi Jinping currently has better leadership favorability ratings compared to Donald Trump, but not by much. It's usually about 0.5 to 1 point more than Donald Trump, according to the Asan Institute reports. Comparatively, Shinzo Abe usually scores underneath a 2, so it's actually worse than Donald Trump, and Kim Jong-un's around a 1, which is kind of obvious, but it shows that although Donald Trump does not have as high a favorability as Barack Obama did, compared to other regional leaders, it's not that too far off.
And just out of curiosity, what was Obama's score? I mean, average, obviously it changed over time, but.
So for comparison, Barack Obama, according to the Pew Research Center, in 2015 had a confidence rating of 88% among South Koreans, which is very high. It's actually the highest it's ever been over the past decade and a half. And he consistently scored high ratings among South Koreans. It was always in the 80 and 70% range. And in some ways, that doesn't sound very good for Donald Trump. But if you look at that in context of Barack Obama's predecessor, President George W. Bush, it seems more like that Barack Obama's favorability was actually more of an exception compared to these two, because President George W. Bush's ratings were around the 30s and 20%, which is still higher than Donald Trump's, but not quite to the same extent that Barack Obama was.
So does this basically mean that South Koreans don't like Republican presidents? Or what's going on here? Why do you think the numbers are so low for particularly Trump, but also Bush?
I mean, this is a small sample size looking at just these three presidents. I don't think it's fair to say that necessarily, that they have some sort of aversion to Republican presidents compared to Democratic presidents. Keep in mind, during the Bush years, whenever the U.S. went into Iraq and the ensuing fallout from all of that, there was kind of this global turn away from America in terms of favorability. And we see some of that happening, too, with Donald Trump. So this aversion to the America acting unilaterally or not doing things in the spirit of global cooperation rubs a lot of Western nations specifically the wrong way. If you actually look at South Korea's favorability ratings of the president compared to Canada, France, Germany, it's not that different.
Yeah, one thing I find interesting, my first hypothesis when I heard this was, you know, maybe the issue is when we have a more conservative leader in the Blue House and a liberal leader in the White House or vice versa, as we have now, you know, President Trump is obviously a Republican and President Moon is a progressive. I thought maybe that might have to do with it. You know, South Koreans are leaning more progressive now. They elected a progressive president and Trump is the opposite of that. But during Obama, I mean, we had Lee Myung-bak and Park Geun-hye, so that's obviously not necessarily the case there. So it is kind of interesting. I think you might be right that some of the unilateralism might be playing into it, especially given the prevalence of this term Korea passing recently. Korea is very concerned about getting passed over, getting skipped over when it comes to especially North Korea policy, but just U.S. policy in general. Do you see any indication of that being the primary concern?
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring up that point because, like you said, whenever we've had a Democratic or Republican president, roughly over the past decade and a half, South Korea has had the opposite. So whenever Obama was in power, there were conservative presidents in South Korea. And whenever George W. Bush was in the administration, there were two more progressive presidents in South Korea. Yeah, so looking at the Pew Research Center data about why South Koreans are not a fan of Donald Trump, a lot of people point to his talk on trade specifically. A lot of it is they don't have confidence in how he'll handle North Korea. And I don't think we should downplay the importance of rhetoric, too. So one tweet can completely change someone's mindset about the president. And there were a few faux pas that Donald Trump has done, not only as president, but during as a candidate as well, that rub Koreans the wrong way. For example, when Donald Trump met with Xi Jinping earlier this year, he had kind of casually mentioned that Xi told him that Korea used to be a part of China. Now, anyone would tell you that these type of historical issues can be very sensitive. And saying something like that, even if it's something that he kind of just casually mentions, can really, really dig into to some of the negative feelings that Koreans can have.
So one thing I find really fascinating about the research that you've been doing is that despite these relatively low numbers for Donald Trump, approval of the United States remains quite high. So how are Koreans separating their views of the U.S. from the views of the person in the White House at the moment?
Yeah, so like you mentioned, views for the U.S. are very high. So basically, since the beginning, towards the beginning of George W. Bush's presidential terms to about now, there's been a fairly steady increase, and they're highest over the Obama years. And there was a slight dip this year that's about 75% favorability, according to the Pew Research Center, of South Koreans for the U.S. And there's a number of reasons why. I think one is the history and strength of the relationship. Donald Trump has been in office for less than a year. Just because he may have said some things or done some actions that rub Koreans the wrong way, when you look at the entire relationship, that you form a negative view of the U.S. A lot of it has to do with soft power. There's a lot of cultural and academic exchanges between the U.S. and South Korea. South Koreans have the fourth most foreign students out of international countries in the U.S. Studying at U.S. colleges. And the military alliance, too. There's a lot of common interests. Obviously, both South Korea and the United States, along with Japan, are very concerned about North Korea. And so in that regard, there's a lot of common ground to work around. So even if there's not necessarily the same personal affinity for the current president, that doesn't go against the United States general yet. The concern would be is if this negative perception continues, then it could affect how South Koreans view the United States. The reverse example of that is South Koreans had a more lukewarm reception towards the U.S. under the Bush years. It was around 50 to 60% favorability. But with Obama, they were basically aligned. So Obama had a positive impact about how South Koreans viewed the U.S. And because the Trump presidency is so young, there's room for concern that if this continues throughout his entire term, that it could affect how South Koreans perceive America. So an interesting aspect to this is earlier this year in March, whenever there was a fallout from the THAAD deployment in South Korea, and China did economic retaliation against South Korea. They banned the Lotte stores. Chinese tourism went down to South Korea. The perception of both Xi Jinping and China both went down. I think that speaks also to the differences of how South Koreans view the U.S.-ROK relationship compared to the ROK-China relationship. It was just 2 years ago that President Park Geun-hye stood very close to President Xi Jinping during that military parade. And now she's out of office. We have a progressive president. And with the fallout of THAAD, you don't have that same luxury that the U.S.-ROK relationship has, where the U.S. has backed the ROK for decades. And because of that, both China and Xi's favorability ratings among South Koreans fell almost in tandem, as opposed to when Donald Trump came into office, favorability towards the U.S. wasn't as greatly affected.
We've been obviously watching very closely Donald Trump's trip to Asia, and particularly his trip to South Korea. He spent some time at Camp Humphreys, attempted to go to the DMZ, and then gave a speech at the National Assembly. And one thing about, you know, the news coverage coming out of this, it consistently is saying, you know, Trump is relatively restrained on North Korea in the last couple of days. I mean, firm, but he hasn't said fire and fury or anything of that level. So I'm curious, in your opinion, or from what you've been seeing in your research, do you think this visit and his relatively restrained rhetoric on North Korea will help ameliorate the negative views that he's showing among the Korean public?
Well, we'll have to see. Trump's speech and his visit to South Korea, I think, certainly was a positive thing. I think his speech was it was very complimentary towards South Korea and the Korean people about all the accomplishments that they've made. Little comments about the Korean golfers, they might seem relatively minor, but for Koreans, they take a lot of pride in their accomplishments on the international stage. And I think a lot of people can take that to heart. But the thing is that this is one visit and ultimately one speech given to the National Assembly. It's one data point amongst all the other data points that we have since President Trump has come into office. And so if there is goodwill that comes from this, it could be undone by just 140 characters, or I guess 280 now because of the new increase in characters. But that's all it takes, right? And just one day he wakes up, turns on his cable news, read something, see something, just spends a few minutes typing, and then if it's something negative towards Korea, it's catching in all the headlines, and then it can just undo all that positive goodwill. And I think that's where the concern is, right? Because there's a mountain of goodwill now that we've had. It's built up steadily over the past two decades. And the concern would be that just a very simple action, just a simple phrase could undo a lot of that.
Yeah, one thing for me that's really interesting, or I'm very curious about this. I mean, President Moon has pretty good favorability among the Korean public, even, you know, 6 to 9 months after his taking office. And so when President Trump, for example, tweets some kind of insult to President Moon saying that he's an appeaser, I wonder if that really does, you know, hurt his favorability among the Korean public, who do support President Moon overwhelmingly at this moment, in contrast to his bromance with Shinzo Abe in Japan. I mean, I just really wonder. I hope that this visit, you know, they were able to become a little closer. I hope that he had a good time in South Korea, because I think those personal relationships and those personal experiences are very important for Donald Trump. He doesn't strike me as the type of person that makes opinions based on very hypothetical or abstract concepts. It's more, I have had this experience with this person and I trust this person. And, you know, I trust this place. I like this place. The food was good. The hamburgers were good, shall we say. So I really hope that this trip, as you say, builds a little bit more of that goodwill, or that even in Donald Trump's mind, that he has a more, you know, a better understanding of Korea and why Korea is important for the U.S. So with that, I'll leave my two cents on the table there. But is there anything else that you want to say in closing?
Yeah. So there's a lot of concern about the U.S. retreating from the global stage under President Trump. So, for example, the withdrawal from TPP and the Paris Climate Agreement. And the concern is there that if the U.S. retreats from this global stage, that allows other people to fill it in, namely China. And South Korea is a very good example of what the change in power may be. If favorability drops among South Koreans of America, that allows possibility for China to fill in some sort of gap, and that's something that we should be concerned about. But at the same time, a positive aspect of that is that this past year, that has been the case. The THAAD fallout shows us that the ROK-US relationship means more to South Koreans right now, at least, that the security line seems secure to them. Most Koreans favor the deployment of THAAD. They're on the same page about treating the North Korean threat. And those are good things. But you would want to make sure that this trend doesn't go any more downward, right? In one aspect, Donald Trump has probably hit the bottom in terms of how low he can go in terms of favorability, so there's a lot of room for improvement. Hopefully that's the case, but as anyone following U.S. politics here knows, one day he might see something very positive, the next he may not. It just depends on his mood or how what he reads or his own personal experiences. But there's a lot at stake, right? This is a relationship that means a lot for the security of both countries, also economically, and we wouldn't want to underestimate the importance of that.
Okay, great. Thanks, Junie, again, for not only all the great work you do here at KEI, but also for taking some time and talking to me about your research.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for once again joining us here on Korean Context. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. As always, please remember to subscribe to our podcasts and also subscribe to KEI's content on Twitter and Facebook. You can find us by searching Korea Econ Inst on Twitter, and by searching for the Korea Economic Institute on Facebook. We also have a YouTube page and an Instagram, so be sure to check those out as well. And definitely come back next week for another great episode.